Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to the Brayden Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show, at BSURP show. Now, let's get into the show. We're giving away Aztec basketball tickets in the 1 o'clock hour. Aztec basketball tickets in the 1 o'clock hour. We gave away Aztec football tickets yesterday.
I'm just confirming that because you put that thought in my mind that it might be for Monday.
I saw an email about it.
Yeah, I know. That's
the game's on Tuesday. So,
you're making me second guess myself, which is why we're doing this. Oh, no, it is for Monday.
We're not giving away tickets today.
We're giving tickets away on Monday for San Diego State basketball.
Yes.
On Tuesday.
That is correct.
Giving away tickets on Monday. Monday tickets. Tickets Monday. Monday tickets. Tickets Troy. Monday San Diego State.
We'll be playing the Midday Sports Standoff at 12:40.
Basketball.
If you want to join us at 12:40, give us a call, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. All right, let's talk about something else. We're going to talk about this couple takeaways from the general manager meetings. We're also going to talk about, one more time, you know, the news about the ownership potentially being up for grabs for the San Diego Padres. They're going to potentially sell. We'll talk about that in a second. But Frank has talked about what baseball league again? United Baseball League?
I think it's Baseball United. It's the league in Dubai. It says it's on the World from World Baseball Network.
That is a channel?
That's why I'm frantically looking for everything I possibly can to see where I can find this.
I remember when they launched this, it was like Dubai's kind of league. So Baseball United has a team in India, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and two in the UAE. And I'm pretty sure there's like a lot of former MLB players in this deal.
Wait. League's YouTube channel. Hold on.
They got a YouTube channel. The only reason why Frank's excited about this is instead of like a bullpen cart, they have a bullpen camel.
Yes.
That like brings pitchers out. From the bullpen.
See, now I'm excited about this because it's not a Met or a Padre. Because I remember very distinctly when we saw after a game that Juan Soto, when he was here, was riding a camel. I distinctly remember freaking out about that. Saying, why would you risk your player riding a camel for recreation?
I know this league's gotten a lot of criticism and stuff like that. The league has since announced that other current and former MLB players as co-owners, including Ronald Acuna Jr., Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ryan Howard. Elvis Andrews is part of the ownership groups for this league. The Karachi team appointed Adrian Beltre and Miguel Tejada as its general manager and manager, respectively, back in the day. don't even know who's in this thing. So you got it on now?
Yes. It's top of the ninth for this game.
Baseball United. This is the first season of this.
Yes.
This
is the first game of
this
the first season.
This is the first game of the first season, and it's on live right now because it's...
on YouTube.
In the Middle East.
Mumbai versus Karachi currently.
Was that Didi Gregorius that just swung that
might
bat?
Have been, yes. I believe he is in this. Well, let's see. Let's take a look at the lineups for today's game, shall we? Justin Williams, who I don't know.
I'm going to look at these rosters.
That's for Mumbai. Jeremiah Profar.
Oh, Profar's
playing
brother.
For Karachi. Jose Acosta sounds like he's spent some time. So is Alex Dubbard. Sounds like he spent some time in the U.S.
Why is that name familiar?
Why does their game day look better than MLB's?
I don't know.
MLB, get on that.
Max Young Goldberg. Why do I know that name?
So there's the Mumbai Cobras, the Mideast Falcons, the Karachi Monarchs, and the Arabia Wolves. Mumbai is playing Karachi right now in a game that's just ending.
Now, that's why I know that name. Max Young Goldberg played at USD. He's batting third today for Karachi.
Nice.
Interesting. I don't know how many of these play. I mean, there's probably a handful. There's probably a handful of Americans in this deal playing in this league. That's pretty interesting. The camel is wild to me.
I wouldn't think Reese Miller is a guy from Arabia, but that's just me.
Mumbai is up 4-1 in the top of the ninth inning. I don't know how many of these are true. All right, so
Alejandro De Aza playing in the outfield for, the Mideast Falcons? Former major leaguer.
I can't believe we have this on right now. This is the first game. I remember they talked about this a couple years ago, and I'm like, this is the way it's going to work. Well, here we are. Frank's watching it. All right, let's talk about this.
Y'all wanted baseball in November.
There's a lot of people. I mean, maybe they are warming up to the idea that a sell of the Padres is good news. And I think a lot of people that were afraid of this news, we talked about it briefly yesterday. Was there worried about like a owner that's not going to spend money? Here's the reality of that situation. The reality of that situation is the Padres are valued at like around $2.5 billion. By being valued at $2.5 billion, that eliminates all of the owners that you would not want to buy your team in the first place. I mean, you got to think about the money that somebody would need to spend $2.5 billion on a toy. The Dick Monfords of the world aren't going to be able to afford a team like the San Diego Padres. John Fishers of the world aren't going to be able to afford a team like the San Diego Padres. And I think a lot of people go like, that guy's worth $4 billion. That's not liquid assets. Those are just assets the guy has. Stephen Cohen's worth 13 point something billion dollars, whatever it may be. But those aren't liquid assets, not all the time. So from that perspective, you have to understand the value has gotten so high for these teams. It's going to be somebody that's just got almost unlimited funds to be able to spend the money. It's the whole bleep you money guy. That's going to be the person that is going to have the funds to buy a team. Are you starting that game over?
What else are we going to watch?
I told you, put the high school football highlights up there.
Brother,
you're going to watch the Karachi Monarchs play the Mumbai Cobras.
What else is there to watch right now?
Just hit a home run in the top of the ninth inning. The guy didn't have a number or a name on the back of his jersey. It looks like adult league baseball.
It's the Middle East, dude. They don't have a lot of money. Come on. That was sarcasm.
You got to be careful.
I know.
And it looks like a softball league. Looks like a softball league. Look at the uniforms. Looks like a men's softball league. I can't believe you have that on TV right now.
Middle East is one of the richest areas in the world, but yes.
It's a nice turf field.
Oh, it's a beautiful field.
I would imagine they have to play at night.
Yeah, they spared no expense on the field.
Wow, great crowd.
Oh, huh? God.
All right.
We went too far.
I can't believe you're watching that.
Fine.
But
again,
I talk about this again. I to go back on track before I get distracted by the United Baseball League. The ownership thing for the Padres, like, it's going to be somebody, whoever buys the team is going to have a ton of cash, and a ton of money to be able to buy the Padres because of what they are valued at. And from that reasoning and that logic, you have to understand that that's going to be somebody that's going to put money into the team. Here's the other thing that ownership groups don't want to do. If you bought the team brand new, right, and you're the brand new owner of this new baseball team, you're not going to make it in a sense of you're not going to cripple the attendance numbers. This is why I keep talking about the situation at hand and how the Padres situation of being up for sale is different than all these other teams. All those other teams that usually sell have an attendance problem. And so at the very least, a lot of these ownership groups don't care about the attendance. The attendance numbers are already low enough. Like, what are they going to get any lower? For the Padres, it is a big asset. And so the new ownership group is not going to piss off the fans by selling off players and assets and risk not having people in the seats. They're going to pump money into their team. That's what they're going to do. The teams that win are the teams that spend money and the ones that view the ownership of the team as a toy. And that's what you're looking for the San Diego Padres. And I think that's what the Padres are going to get. I think that's what the Padres organization is going to get in a new owner. And to me, I think that's great news. Yeah, so, sure, some owners don't pump a lot of money in their teams. Those are the ownership groups that bought the team a long time ago for not a lot of money and have now been out. They've been priced out of being able to afford teams. The attendance numbers are low for a lot of different reasons. Not just because they don't spend money. But if you want to continue to say that everything's going to be fine if they don't sell the team, it's a different take to me. I think they're doing the right thing. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, we are going to dive into some of the priorities this offseason for the Padres. I mean, we've taken care of the manager situation. Now we have this new news about the team potentially being up for sale, but there's a lot of moves that need to be made. What are the Padres working on? We'll talk about it when we come back on the Brayden Cipriani Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97 through the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
People are worried about the new ownership group potentially not liking baseball. And it's like they want to like buy the baseball team like they're flipping a house. If you look at the last couple of ownership groups that have come in, they're not like house flippers. You're going to get somebody that's going to spend $2.5 billion on a baseball team probably likes baseball. Otherwise, it's a gigantic waste of $2.5 billion. Baseball teams are lucrative. That might be what, like, some of the minority owners, the ones that aren't putting up as much money, the low percentage numbers in a group might be thinking. But to spend $2.5 billion and then have to run the baseball team with no experience or not liking baseball would be the most idiotic business move. Makes no sense. As KG in the chat says, a cheap owner buys a cheap team because it requires minimal infusion of cash to keep things running. 100%. 100%. And stop with the whole, like, nobody's going to come play for the Padres now. You don't know. I mean, you see what they decide to do. You guys see what the new ownership group might be. But, I mean, there's a good chance with this day and age and how expensive teams are. Because this isn't a cheap team. This is an expensive team based on all the assets that they have and the revenue that they make. This is a team that's going to drive an owner that wants to be a part of Major League Baseball. Then again, these owners have to be approved by Major League Baseball. They're not always going to get approved. They could get the highest bidder. The guy could be like not a good baseball guy or somebody that doesn't pass the test for all the MLB owners. And guess what? He's out. Like, they have to approve the owner. There's processes for these. So, but that's going to be a couple of years down the road. There it is. There's the bullpen camel. Do you have to ride the bullpen camel?
I think so. I wouldn't personally, but yeah, there it is. I don't know how well you could see it on the camera.
Oh, you could see it. It just looks like you're illegally streaming something.
Which I'm not. It's available for free on YouTube, so.
Yep, there it is.
Bullpen,
there's the guy in the
camel.
Bullpen camel. That's insane.
Jerickson Profar's brother nailed a double, by the way.
Yeah, good for him.
It is first at bat. And how can you not be romantic about baseball? First pitch in the history of Baseball United, solo home run. Congratulations.
What happens?
Scared to death about being on that camel.
Yeah. What happens if the camel, you know, has he got a cleanup crew behind him?
It's a working camel. He knows he can't do it then.
He's a working camel.
It's a working camel.
You know what? There's a lot of working people that like to.
Camel knows
they
how
like.
To
there's a lot of people that like to use the bathroom on company time, Frank.
Listen, the camel stays on script. Like I said, it's a good, they paid money. It's a good working, it's a working camel.
Working camel. All right, let's talk about.
You don't get yourself a shoot camel for stuff like this. You get yourself a working camel.
Right. KG in the chat's put it perfectly. You're not getting any penny pinchers sniffing the Padres, only big spenders. That's 100% accurate, Frank.
Oh, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's an expensive team that's going to drive an expensive owner.
Yeah, and we said that yesterday, was you're not going to buy a team at the height of its popularity with the big money contracts that it has to try to tear it down. There's so much momentum with this team and with this organization. It is very rare that you get the opportunity to buy a contending playoff organization. That's, you're not going to tear that down. The hard work has already been done for you. You don't need to make it a playoff team. It already is. So if you're serious about buying a baseball team, this is the one you're going to buy, and you're not going to be a guy who's just barely got enough money to scrape by to get it. This is a toy that you don't have to do the work because the work's already done. You're already a playoff team. Done.
That's right. The debt ratio is not a problem, Anthony.
No.
It's just the guy's obviously not a business guy. All right, let's talk about the on-field deal.
But every single team has debt. That's not a Padre-specific issue. Every single team has debt like that.
Yeah, and it's never a huge factor for these new ownership groups that come in and pay.
Every major company, every major organization has debt.
Right. That doesn't mean they don't make money.
Exactly.
We had that conversation in the chat yesterday. Sushi Sam was out there. Spitting game. I thought a couple of times you were going to sit there and say, have enough money to buy a camel. when you're distracted by the camel bullpen
no,
thing.
No, don't worry. It's I know I do have the tendency to go the whole squirrel, but I know when to rein it in.
All right. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Kevin Chula Vista, you're on the Braden's Apprenticeship. What's going on, Kevin?
Yeah, hey, Braden. A different thought that occurred to me last night that those of us have been around since the beginning of Padres time here in 1969. Do you realize that every single ownership group that has held this team from beginning until now has eventually blown up? That, to me, blows my mind in that... I think, and it's my opinion for what it's worth, see what you think. One of the things that the ownership groups, all of them, have failed to do on a consistent basis for many different reasons is to have a minor league system that has deliverable, bona fide major league starters. And you can count on one hand since 1969 how many of those we have brought up into the major leagues that have been successful here out of the Padres farm systems over the years, to where if you had that, you wouldn't have this constant kabuki dance that happens now every off season of having to delve into a free agency system that is chaotic at best, and you're paying for players based upon the past of their baseball card and not necessarily what you're going to get out of the future. So that's kind of what I was thinking last night as I reflected on this mess that we are going to go through again for the umpteenth time as a city as it relates to Padres ownership.
Well, you bring up a good point. I mean, it's the cheapest way to be able to put a winner together is being able to develop your own starting pitching. Being able to hang on to that starting pitching is also difficult because then you got to be able to pay for those guys to stay, or you just continue to run with young arms over and over and over again. It is an easier way to do it. It's definitely a more cost-effective way. But again, until you see a new group in here or whatever it may be, it's going to be tough to understand how much money they have to spend. I mean, let's talk about it from this perspective. From, you know, we haven't really asked, you know, Frank is a Mets fan. How much different has it been with Cohen in charge as an owner? He's the guy that is a baseball fan that wanted to spend money. Obviously, they haven't spent the money in all the right areas, but they are putting an effort in.
Results have been the same. But it's nice to not have to worry about the penny pinching of the Wilpons anymore. Now, granted, just because you have the richest owner in baseball doesn't mean you are going to sign every single player. But it's nice to not have that worry of, can we sign this guy? Is there enough money in the budget? This, that, and the other. But honestly, it hasn't made a lick of difference to the on-the-field product. It really hasn't.
The ones that are interesting to me about this are the ones that, but it's about, the thing is they have to spend the money. That's what the owners have to do.
Yes.
It's not their job to find the players. It's their job to spend the money on the players. It's the job of their staff that they pay for to find said players. But you look at, and I want to look at this, like, you start looking around Major League Baseball and the teams and what they went for and how much, you know, what year they were acquired. I mean, think about the teams that are cheap. What's the first team that you think about when they're cheap?
Oklamento,
John Fisher, right?
Mm-hmm.
He bought the team in 05 for $180 million.
He was a real estate guy.
Yeah, $180 million. Now, I know there's inflation and everything like that. $180 million in 2005. That's a guy that's got probably most of his wealth in the A's. Which means he can't pull from more stuff to just pump into the Athletics. The mm-hmm. A's are his, that is his major asset.
Yeah, the A's are his more stuff.
That is his more stuff. He doesn't have money on the side that could just pump into the Athletics. And he's had the team since 2005. He's a guy that's hanging on to it to flip the value.
Think about some other teams that don't spend.
Pittsburgh, Kansas City,
Let's
Miami.
Talk about Pittsburgh. Robert Nutting bought the Pirates in 1996 for $92 million. $92 million he bought that franchise for. $92 million! Think about the owners that own some of these teams. Everybody's like, oh, they're so wealthy. He bought them for $92 million. The Phillies actually spend tons of money. They're in a big market. They got a big TV contract.
Their owner's been there forever, though.
Their owner's been there since 1981. He spent $30 million on that team.
Yeah,
but that's an organization that wants to spend money. Who else is a team? Who else is an org that doesn't spend money?
Washington,
the Nationals. They just got a new owner. Oh, they were supposed to. Did they not get one?
Yeah, they just. I believe they just got purchased. Yeah.
Have they finalized that yet?
I'm not sure.
Because it still says the Lerner Enterprises own the team.
And again, the reason why you think of Washington, look at what has happened. Because again, if you haven't watched the Netflix documentary, Who Killed the Montreal Expos, please do yourself a favor and go watch it, especially if you're just a baseball fan. Their owner, the creator of that team, loved baseball so much. The second he sold that team, because he couldn't have, he saw where baseball was going, didn't like it with how much money he was going to have to spend. He knew he was going to drive him into the poorhouse. So he sold the team. The second that he sold that team, that organization went straight down the drain. Also, I mean, two or three stadium referendums also failed, which really put the nail in the coffin. But all of their issues started with an owner who loved baseball. They got priced out of it because he couldn't afford it anymore.
The Rays are cheap, too, somebody brought up. They just sold this year for $1.7 billion.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see what Patrick Zalupski, who is the new owner of the Rays, does in his first couple of years.
His first order of business is a stadium referendum. That has to be the first thing he does.
But that's another thing, though. Like, he has to spend money on building a stadium and finding a stadium. The Padres' new ownership doesn't have to worry about a stadium.
He has to, or the Tampa Bay St. Pete has to.
About getting a stadium?
Yes.
I think owners should pay for their own stadiums.
I agree with that 100%.
He needs to find a new home
it'll
for that
be publicly
team.
Funded.
Well, down in Tampa it might, because their taxes are lower. People are more obligated to vote for a tax in these states that don't have high taxes to build a stadium than people that have to pay a bunch of money in taxes already. You know, if you don't have a state income tax, right, and it's like, oh, we're going to tax you an extra 1% on whatever, people aren't going to care. They sign it off and it's okay. It's fine. Oh, for a new stadium? Sounds good. But like when you get to these states that have high taxes, it's like, I already have to pay all this money in taxes. What am I going to do that for an ownership group to build a stadium when they should be doing it for themselves? But again, keep going down the list. We just talked about Detroit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why the Tigers, like, they're trying to shop Tarek Skubal because they don't think they can afford to pay him. Christopher Illich, who's American businessman and president and chief executive officer of Illich Holdings, bought the Detroit Tigers in 1992 for $82 million.
That's a different date and time, though.
$82 million. He bought the Tigers in 1992. These are the like we always talked about Dick Monfort, right? He bought the Rockies for $95 million in 92. $95 million. It's different. Obviously, with inflation, everything like that, it's probably like a way higher cost.
Did he buy the team or did he create the team?
He might have created the team.
That's,
$95 million. It doesn't matter, though. The ownership groups that you're about to see that have spent money on these teams are the ones that have bought in more recent time. Guggenheim spent $2 billion on the Dodgers. It's a different market, but that's the type of owner that's spending money. $2 billion investment. Steve Cohen paid $2.4 billion for the Mets in 2020.
And just think. The Padres are projected to sell for $2.5 billion. You guys are more valuable than the Dodgers. Congratulations.
At the time of sell. Rays, $1.7 billion. That one's still to be determined. and then the Orioles at $1.7 billion as well. Yeah, there's not a lot of owners in baseball that spent $1 billion on their team. The only other one was the Kansas City Royals, who sold in 2020 for $1 billion.
And a lot of organizations that have gotten new owners, not just in baseball but in sports, have had a very, very good track record recently as far as having success after the sale because their owner is putting money into the team. The big money people are understanding now that owning a sports team is not how you make money. It is how you mess around with the money you have.
Yes. You make your money on the sports team when you sell it. You have fun while you own it. Yes. I mean, it's like a yacht. Except for the difference is your team appreciates over time, where the yacht does not.
You know what boat stands for, right?
No.
Bust out another 1,000.
There you go. So I'd never want to own a boat. Adrian in San Diego, you're on the Brayden Soprano Show. What's going on, Adrian?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, excuse me for not educating myself all the way on this one, but I've always been told that the Padres and the ownership and all that have these backdating ties to the O'Malley family. Is that correct?
Well, the Seiler family, they're part of the O'Malley family. Peter and all those, the O'Malleys were their grandkids, or grandparents.
So as a lifelong Padre fan, get us away from the O'Malley family as far as possible. Someone come by us. Get us from the Dodgers, man. We don't want to be around them no more. Me personally, that's kind of how I feel when I heard the news.
All right, Adrian. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
I mean, fair play, but whatever.
But not really. I mean, you want your own team, and you buy your own team. You eliminate your fandom when you were a kid. That's how it works. Are you going to root for, if you bought a team, and that was like your moneymaker, I mean, that was your identity, it was your team. You're not going to root for the team you grew up rooting for. It's the same thing like when you were a kid. You think any of these guys, I mean, I'm sure some local San Diego kids don't mind seeing the Padres have success as they play for other MLB teams. But when it comes down to it, do you think they're going to be rooting for the Padres over themselves? Come on now.
No, we've talked to guys. We've talked to Sean Bouchard. We've talked to Mickey Moniak. They want to beat them when they come when the Rockies come here.
Cole Brooks, boo, Adrian. It's come on. That's cutting off your nose to spite your face. 100%. That just doesn't make any sense. But again, there's not a lot of these teams that have been available to top-end spenders. And the Padres are going to be a team that's going to be available to a top-end spender. And that's why I think this is good news.
And that's why, what you brought up with how much money was being sold, it costs so much equity to purchase a sports team now. It makes no fiscal sense for you to blow $2.5 billion if you don't want to see it succeed. You're putting way too much equity into it to try to make money off of it and that be your only goal. Doesn't make sense.
You know how much Jerry Reinsdorf paid for the White Sox in 81?
$20.
$20 million. A lot of the problems that some of these teams, especially, and you have to view it from the perspective of the teams that don't spend in big markets, they're usually families that have owned the team for a long period of time, and that is their money, is that team. That's where most are like, well, they're worth this. It's not liquid assets. And they're not going to get that until they sell. It's like the Spanos family with the Chargers.
And like I mentioned before, that's where the Expos owner saw it was going, so he sold. He knew he couldn't afford it anymore. He knew he couldn't afford it anymore. He knew he could not afford to put the amount of money into the team that he needed to in order for it to be consistently competitive. So he got rid of it. And it killed the team. Well, it started the dissension of the team.
If I had to, I have to ask you this one trivia question because we got to get the break. We're well overdue. Out of all the current ownership groups in baseball, all the current ones, who bought their team for the least amount of money? It's a trick question. It's got to be something you got to be thinking long term.
I would have to.
Who spent the least amount of money buying their team out of the current ownership groups?
It wouldn't be the Yankees because they sold it. The Yankees sold it to Steinbrenner, sold it to CBS and then bought it back in the 80s.
No, they have it listed as them buying him in 73.
Or, yeah, the 70, whatever. He sold it and then bought it back from CBS. Is it Boston?
No, it is the Yankees.
It is the Yankees.
They spent $8.7 million on the purchase price.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When did Steinbrenner sell it to CBS?
That could be one of the notes in there. But yeah, they bought the team for $8.7 million back in 73. How about that? White Sox, next cheapest at $20 million. Philadelphia Phillies, $30 million in 81. Twins were bought in 1984 for $44 million. You wonder why they're shedding payroll. Tigers, $82 million in 92. Pirates, $92 million in 96. Rockies, $95 million in 92. What do all these teams have in common, Frank? Aside from the Yankees.
Wait, one more time.
What do most of these teams have in common? Yankees sold for $8.7 million. You could really cross them out. They're in a big market.
It says 10 here, but...
White Sox, $20 million. Phillies, $30 million. Twins, $44 million. Tigers, $82 million. Pirates, $92 million. Rockies, $95
million. Small markets.
Small markets and teams that aren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that don't spend money, except for the Yankees and the Phillies.
So Steinbrenner sold 80% of the Yankees to CBS for $11.2 million in 64 and then bought the team back for 10 in 73.
We got to get to break.
Yes.
We're going to come back. We get to the sports thread. Brayton Soprano Show, Saturday's number sports station, 97 through the fan. But
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's also time for the sports thread.
You know that group chat? The one that's always blowing up with the biggest sports takes, debates, and breaking news?
You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me!
Yeah, we've got that too. Welcome to the Sports Thread, where we break down the top 5 stories in sports, just like you would with your crew.
Oh no! Disaster! What a bad idea!
No filters, no silence, just real talk.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Stop sitting on the sidelines. QC Kinetics gets you back in the game without surgery. To learn how, visit QCKinetics.com.
All right. What do we got in the sports world that's not Padres related?
Good amount of stuff, actually. Number one. This first one we'll discuss a little bit more with Drake at the end of the show. But we told you yesterday about the Major League Soccer owners meeting that was happening, and that now for next year, starting next year, you only need Apple TV Plus in order to watch MLS games. You don't need to have the MLS season pass in order to watch them. The other two votes that were up were a change of schedule and a change in the standings. Major League Soccer Board of Governors voted to align with international calendar by shifting the regular season to a summer to spring campaign beginning in 2027. So next year we'll be in the summer again. And then in 2027, the season will start in August as the European schedules do. The change would see the season kick off in mid-July and run through the spring with decision day in April and the MLS Cup playoffs in May. The MLS would allocate a winter break to prioritize player recovery, pausing action from mid-December to mid-February. So there would be no games played between the middle of December all the way through January and through the middle of February. So the league will shut down.
The league will shut down.
Yes.
During the end of the NFL season, through the NFL playoffs, and the Super Bowl.
Hey, That's a coinky dink, isn't it? I think
that's probably the real reason why they're shutting down during those months.
More than 90% of games are expected to be played in the footprint that the league currently employs. So that is big, big, big news for the Major League Soccer. And also for us here in San Diego, you get to watch your team play and not have to decide whether or not, do I want to go see San Diego FC tonight, or do I want to see the Padres tonight?
It's great. Great news. I like all these changes for the MLS. It's going to make it easier to watch with that new deal. It's going to be, you know, not put them behind a super paywall. That's really a super paywall,
yes,
because you have
to
pay for Apple TV Plus. Then you have to pay for the package on top of that.
Yeah, owners have been trying all year, or the last couple of years, to try to get out from behind that super paywall. So they finally did it.
Number two.
The NFL has filed a grievance against the NFL Players Association, asking the union to stop its annual team report cards and saying the exercise violates the collective bargaining agreement by airing public criticisms of teams. So the owners got their fifis hurt by the players saying how they truly feel. The league claims the report cards, which polls every player on various aspects of working conditions, violated a CBA clause that said the NFL owners and the union must, quote, use reasonable efforts to curtail public comments by club personnel or players which express criticism of any club, its coach, or its operation and policy, according to an August letter from the league's management council to the NFLPA general counsel DePasso, that was obtained by the Four Letter Network. After months of discussion with the league, after the letter, the NFLPA alerted its players of the grievance filed last week and said it's moving ahead with this year's survey. Owners got their fifis hurt, and now they're wanting to punish the players for it.
God forbid the players hold the owners in the NFL accountable for their cheapness, basically.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the National Football League. This is the biggest league in the United States. This is the biggest moneymaker in the United States. If you don't like it, improve your facilities. You should be like the groups that are doing a great job should be excited about this. Like, hey, look, come play here. We take care of you. It's funny. I saw that on a podcast the other day. AJ McCarron. Remember AJ McCarron?
Yeah.
Quarterback in Alabama, played at Cincinnati, played for the Bengals. He's on the podcast. He's talking about how miserable it is going to London to play games.
Yeah.
He mentioned this about the Bengals. He said, when I was playing with the Bengals, they used to, when they would get the gear from Nike, whoever it was, like the gear that they hand out to all the players, like all the swag and stuff like that, they would keep half of the gear and not pass all of it out. So at the end of the season, they could sell it at the garage sale and say, player issued worn apparel, even though they never touched that apparel, to try to make some of the money back, because that's how cheap of an organization the Bengals are.
God,
that is the funniest thing I've ever heard. He was laughing when he's telling the story. He's like, it was amazing. We would only get half of the stuff we were supposed to get because the Bengals would keep it and then sell it at the end of the year at a garage sale. I don't know if they're still doing that. This is what Agent McCarron said on a podcast. I thought that was the funniest thing. And you know what? It fits right in line with, I bet you the Bengals bitched about this.
They're
the team that always comes to mind.
You know who's really complaining about this and leading the charge on this grievance? Woody Johnson, who's the owner of the New York Metropolitans, whose players gave him an F on this report card.
Yeah, he was upset, the Jets guy.
Yeah.
The Johnson & Johnson heir.
Woody Johnson, yes.
Yeah.
What a guy. What
they
a
They called out Justin
what
Fields in public, too. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, what happened to not knocking your players, organization, and stuff like that in public? What happened to that? Yeah. Where was that grievance in the CBA when he said that a couple weeks ago? Dope.
Number three.
14 people were charged for their roles in a multi-million dollar illegal sports betting ring. Exactly right.
But the NCAA, right?
That involved college athletes and had links to organized crime in New Jersey. According to authorities, Joseph Little Joe Perena.
Little Joe.
Yeah, Little Joe.
Little Mo.
a member of the Lucchese crime family.
Nice.
And his associates ran a nationwide network of bookmakers who used offshore websites to facilitate approximately $2 million in bets between 2022 and 2024. New Jersey Attorney General Matthew Platkin said several college athletes operated a sports book at the direction of Little Joe. Platkin did not answer questions regarding which college sports or which colleges or sports were involved in the betting ring. The NCAA is aware of the charges and is looking into the case. More and fun. More and more and more.
Just
is
the tip
coming
of the iceberg,
out.
Man.
This is unreal.
Just the tip of the iceberg. Let's get to the Pac-12 deal.
Yeah, let's do that. Number four. The Pac-12 has found another media partner in USA Sports, which announced Thursday it would televise 22 football games, 50 men's basketball games, and up to 10 women's basketball games at the beginning of next year. The conference, which lost all but two of its programs in the latest surge of realignment, will be back to nine teams for the 2026-2027 season. USA Network is among the handful of properties being spun off from Comcast, NBC, to become the new company, Versant, in the deal.
They mentioned how much money every school gets?
No, they haven't.
They haven't done that for any one of their deals, which is interesting to me. Every other TV contract that we've seen with the power schools have seen money. Figures. Speaking of money.
So much money.
What happened on the Ben and Woods show that perked our interest? We'll talk about it when we come back.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Brayden Suprenet Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.